Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to church. Once again, my name is Travis. So thankful that you've joined us today. And man, I am so thankful each and every week as we are led into the throne room of God by our worship team. They do such an amazing job. And if you guys have been here in the mornings before church and those times of worship and intercession, they are incredibly powerful times of being in his presence. And one of the things I love most about these guys, getting to walk with them, is how I get to see that it's just an overflow of their personal lives. It's like an overflow of their own worship. And so I think that's what makes it so powerful, is that it is a place they're already going, and we get to come in behind them. And one thing I wanted to say just on that note is that you may often see the same people up here, and that's not because they're all paid staff. The large majority of them are volunteers, as you might imagine, as well as our tech and sound booth folks. And the reason you see a lot of the same ones is because we need more volunteers. They have an incredible community. Just the music and the love and passion for music and worship and using skills and talents to really allow hurdles to be taken down for all of us to enter into worship in an unhindered way. I love the passion they have. And so this community is really a tight-knit community, and they need more people to be a part of it. And so one of the things that they said, because I was like, well, what about training and skill level and all those kinds of things? And so there are actually a lot of things that you can be trained in. And so especially on the tech side of things, there's opportunities to be trained in lighting and sound and video. And obviously, if there's any sound engineers out there, let us know. We would love to know that you're here. But even if you're interested in something like sound engineering, there are opportunities to begin to learn that. We've got other opportunities to lead worship and things like kids and youth and different things like that. So even if there's a place and you're like, I love that, and I like to play this instrument, but I don't know how my skill level is there. Josiah is even going to be having some trainings this summer different, if you play an instrument but would like to get a little better, to see where you are, to see how you could improve. He's going to be doing some clinics on a couple of different instruments. And so there's just some ways that they're saying, hey, we're willing to train. We need to add people to this community. And so if you have the time to do that, the desire to do that, and particularly if you have the passion to do that, they are in desperate need of you, because while we have a great team, the thing we're always concerned about is not burning out that great team, and that they're having to serve every week, and because these guys do a lot for us, and it's very meaningful to each and every one of us. And so if God's stirring something in you, you can scan this up here. You can go to antiochphx.com/worship, and there's just a whole description of how you can get involved and what that might look like. It's got kind of the heart of the worship team and ministry, what you can expect there, and then just the different needs where you can actually sign up and volunteer to do that. So we'd love for you to get that this summer. Again, they're going to try to spend some of the free time to invest in new volunteers, in training and equipping, so that you as a volunteer can feel like you have everything you need to do that well. So, amen? Amen. All right. Well, this kind of begins. It feels a little early, but we're moving right in there, as the weather is telling us that it is summertime. And we, during each summer, we usually do an extended series where we're diving into the Word of God. Now, the last several many years, I can't remember the last time we didn't spend a summer going through a book of the Bible, where we just are going verse by verse, kind of chapter by chapter, and diving into the different nuances and meanings and the richness of the Word of God. This summer, we're going to be doing that same thing, or expressing that same heart, but rather than going through an entire book of the Bible, we feel as though God has led us to doing a biblical study on the names of God, particularly the Old Testament names of God, where we're going to be kind of diving in to these different texts where this name of God came about. So many of the names of God that we have in the Bible come from an experience that a person or a people had with him, and they said, oh, this is who he is. And so this series is entitled More Than a Name, because it's not just a title, it's not just a name that they decided to call God, it is something of who they experienced him to be, and thus it is what they called him. That he is the God who sees, he is the God who heals, he is the God who provides, this is who he is, this is who he's been for us, this is our testimony of who God is. And so we often see, we certainly see it in the Bible, where names carry great meaning. Where the name of an individual speaks of their character, it speaks of maybe their ability, it speaks of their calling or their mission. And we particularly see that when God changes somebody's name, right? So there's different instances in Scripture where God will change somebody's name to more rightly align with their calling. Like, okay, no, now you're walking with me, this is your name. Because this is who you've been called to be, and this is what your mission is. This is what you are to be about. Similarly with our name as a church, coming from Acts 11 and 13, we have the church at Antioch where they were sending people out, where they were seeing God do a new thing, and they were living authentically to model Christ to the world around them. And there's much more like, man, that's who we are. That's who God's called us to be. I was thinking about it in light of the 14 babies up here, if you were here last week, that were up here being dedicated, and we had all these names, and I love it, because I know there's many up there that were, the name was important. Not only were there family names that were given that had importance because of who that those people were, but also there was significance in the meaning of those names and who that child was called to be. And so when we read that name off, that meant something to those parents. It wasn't just a title, right? It wasn't just like, that's just what we call them. But there's something more significant to that. This is why we call them that. And this is what we're believing about their lives. And so as we look at the names of God, we're really believing that God is going to draw us to himself through a greater understanding of the revelation of who he is throughout Scripture. And so we want to grow in our very own revelation of who he is, that we might grow in our knowing of him. In fact, I want to start by reading out of the book of Psalms. And I want to specifically read in Psalm 9. In Psalm 9, I'm going to begin reading verse 1. Let's just go for it. Psalm 9, 1 through 11. So this is the Psalm of David. I will give thanks to the Lord, will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you, for you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as the righteous judge. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies, and you have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing the praises of the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. Originally, I was just going to read verse 10, and I do want to kind of focus in on that for a second. But in reading the context, I wanted us to get the full emotion and the full depth of what is being communicated here. You can tell in this writing, in these words, in this expression of thanks and gratitude and worship to God, that the author, in this case David, really knows him. Right? There's just, I know him. And so I can speak deeply of him because I know him. And so there in verse 10, this is what he said. Those who know your name trust in you. Those who know your name trust in you. And I think that's part of the Lord's heart for us in this series, is that just as we hear this kind of description, this worship, this gratitude towards God, and it lifts our spirit because we're hearing from somebody who has walked with God, who knows him closely. We're like, man, this guy knows God. My soul is encouraged just through hearing these words. And then he says this, that it's those who know your name that trust in you. It's this knowing of God, the knowing of his name, the knowing of who he is, are the ones who trust in you. And so this summer, that we might be a people who more greatly trust in Jesus, who trust in the Lord as we walk with him. Let us know his name. Let us grow in our understanding of the revelation of who he is through his name. Throughout this year already, as we've been talking about one family together on mission and what it looks like to be commended as a servant of God, to carry a compassion from the heart of God into this world, while at the same time carrying the truth of God with that compassion, being clear with what God says about who we are and how we were designed, and the fact we've been talking about some of the spiritual warfare and imagery of warfare, like the battle that we're in. I believe that this series, as we dive into the Word of God, will be very anchoring for us. That as the winds blow and as the waves toss us to and fro, that what is foundational is the knowing of God, that we might trust in him even in the times of the unknown, even when it feels like, man, we're losing our stability a little bit, that we would be grounded and be able to say, no, this is who he is. This is who he is. And so I invite you, not only this morning, but throughout this summer, to join us anytime that you can, as we, as the body of Christ, say we want to be more grounded and rooted, allowing who he is to be our foundation and our source of strength as we navigate and live out the call of God on our lives, okay? And so and so today, as we dive into the knowing of his name, that our trust might grow in him, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3. So every other name that we will talk about throughout this series will be names that he has been given, things that he's been identified, like this is who he is, this is his character as we've walked with him as a people. But the only name that's different than that is the name Yahweh. And that name is the name that God gave himself. And so what better place to start than to start with the name and to understand a little more deeply the name that God gave himself, the way that he introduced himself specifically here to Moses and said that he wanted to be known. So I want us to just read the story in which God shares with Moses this, his name, beginning in Exodus 3, verse 1. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I'm going to pause there just a moment before we continue reading. So we have Moses here who grew up in the household of Pharaoh. If we'll recall the story, Moses was born as a Hebrew slave at a time when an edict had gone forth that all Hebrew babies would be killed under the age of two. Moses's mother and family had the faith to hide him. They put him in a basket on the river. Miraculously, he is saved by the daughter of Pharaoh, grows up in the household of Pharaoh, a prince of Egypt, until his anger overcomes him and he kills an Egyptian slave master because he was beating a Hebrew slave. And so he had to run for his life. He ends up here in Midian and is now taking care of a flock. So his life has come to an abrupt change and everything he knew is different. And now he is out away from all that and maybe made peace with that and in many regards is okay to be done with that season of his life. And yet God finds him in the wilderness and he speaks to him. He speaks to him from this burning bush. It caught Moses' attention and then God begins to speak with him, and it's very evident that this is God and not this is specifically the God of his ancestors, the God that he knows of, but maybe knows very little of. Again, growing up in the household of Egypt, though a Hebrew, maybe not, we don't know the extent of what he knew of the God of his ancestors, but this is how God reveals himself to him. This is who I am, the God of your ancestors, and I'm sending you back to Egypt. I'm sending you to go. It's time for my people to be set free. I need you to go. And then in verse 11, Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I want to make one quick note here that's never the right question. Who am I that I should do that? Because here you have God, and in this case, burning and consuming, yet not consuming a bush. He's speaking to you. You obviously are aware of his presence, and he tells you what he's going to do, that he's going to deliver the people, that he's heard the cry, you just need to go, and you're going to see this happen. And he says, who am I? That's not really the question. And God does not answer that question because that's not the right question. The question is really, who are you? Are you able? And so if we're convinced that he is able, it doesn't really matter who we are in that sense. Now, I don't want to take that too far because I believe that God does use who you are. He does use your specific personality, your specific skill set, the gifts that he's given you. For Moses, the experiences he's had as a royalty, like he didn't grow up in slavery with a mentality in that way. He grew up with a mentality of royalty, and so he had this different understanding, and so God used that in his life. But the question is never like, who am I, or I don't have what it takes. Of course you don't have what it takes to set these people free from the nation of Egypt and the most powerful leader in the world. Yes, you. Who are you? You're not going to do it. You can't do it. That's not the question. our question always comes back to, in those places where we feel intimidated or we feel like we don't know how to move forward, or I'm not up to this task, or I don't know why I'm in this situation, or I don't know how to overcome this relational issue, or whatever it might be, the question always comes down to, who do we believe that God is? And so again, let this series and this study on the names of God be something that grounds us so that when we get into those situations, we're like, oh no, it's not about who I am or what I am not capable of. It's about who he is and what he is capable of. And so we come in behind that reality and that truth. Okay, and so we're learning this. Moses is learning this lesson, and so God says what the initial response is what we see so often in Scripture, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on today, though you could do an entire series on studying passages of Scripture with this, where God says, "I will be with you." God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that is." I who have sent you, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, and you will worship God on this very mountain, which indeed happens, right? But I love that. That's always God's first response, it seems. When there's an objection, when there's fear, when there's I can't do that. Like, that's never going to happen. That's not realistic. I don't have what it takes. I'm afraid. How often do we see God saying, "I will be with you"? And so I think the reason I say there's probably an entire series to be done there on studies where God responds that way is because there's something more powerful there probably than any of us have fully grasped. If that's always his first response, and yet we continue to get into these situations where we feel like, I don't know, or this or that, or I'm scared, or how is that gonna, it's like, I'm with you. And really, I think the prayer for myself or for any one of us is that we would get to the maturity level in Christ that's enough. Because I think that almost feels like the expectation in Scripture sometimes. God's like, I'll be with you. Yeah, but God, wait, why do you need more than that? Why do you need more than the fact that the Creator God, who is all powerful, will be with you? You know, and if we really grasp that, if we really walk in that, see, I'm getting in on a different series. I'm not even supposed to be doing that. But to be continued later, maybe sometime. Right, though, if we could just get that. But so he goes on, okay, I'll be with you. But okay, so I feel like this is kind of the acknowledgement. Okay, I'll be with you. Maybe Moses doesn't really know what that means or know who I am, right? Because I could say, hey, I'll be with you, but if you're going to do a piano recital and I'm with you, that's not going to help very much because I can't play the piano for nothing. Or if you're going into a karate match or something, like, I'll be with you. Like, great, thanks, Travis. You know, it's like, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe we don't know why that's so great. You know, so maybe that's why this, because then what's next is, okay, Moses, here's the thing. I'll be with you. And then verse 13, Moses says to God, so I'll be with you. He rebuts again. So suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And so that God can convince Moses that it is enough that he is with them, he begins to declare to him who he is. His name. But remember, when we're talking about names, particularly in the biblical times and particularly in the Old Testament, and the names were who they were, not just what they were called. It was who they were. It was that calling. It was their ability and character. And so God said to Moses, "I am who I am. I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And so this is the way that God begins to respond to Moses. And I will say this, that's not his name. Initially, he says, God says, I am who I am. He said it in effect that before you worry about my name, know this, that I am who I am. Before you get my name, get my being. Let's make sure we're talking about the same thing, that I am who I am. I absolutely am. Okay, and so what we're finding in this, in what God's communicating is something very foundational. And so in the second part, he said, so say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And so here, Moses still hasn't yet given, God hasn't yet given his name to Moses, but he's building a bridge in giving him his name by putting I am in that place. Tell him, I am is sending you. And then in the very next verse, in verse 15, He says this, God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So there in Exodus 3:15, God said to Moses, say to this, the people of Israel, the Lord. So the Lord, anytime you see that in the Old Testament particularly, and many translations have that with all caps, it's like a kind of a lowercase caps, the Lord. And anytime you see that, that is Yahweh. That is this name that was revealed to Moses by the Lord at the burning bush. So say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And so this name, Yahweh, is connected in the Hebrew language to I am. Some of the same lettering. It's built on I am that I am. And so this name, Yahweh, is most fundamentally the one who is. The one who is. It is the most foundational meaning of Yahweh. My amness comes from my amness. You know, it's like this trying to get to this base foundational level of I always have been, I am right now, and I always will be. My being from my being, my existence from my existence. It is rudimentary, foundational, fundamental understanding of a God who always has been. And so God gives himself this name, Yahweh. No man gave him this name. It is God's chosen personal name. It is used over 5,000 times in the Old Testament. It's not a title like many of the other names, kind of a title or something that have been said of God. This is a personal communication of God saying, this is who I am. I'm Bob. You know, it's like I'm introducing myself to you. There's something important about that because it's personal, it's covenantal in nature. Like, this is my name. This is how you can know me. So while it's personal and covenantal in that way, it's also amazing how much it communicates about the power of our God. That it communicates not only that through a personal name that he has no beginning, that he has no ending, that he is not dependent on anything. He simply is. And he always was, and he always will be. And so there's something incredibly foundational about our understanding of God. There is no other God. He is the one who has created all things, all other beings. He is the one true God who always has been and always will be. To be sure, he has titles, he has attributes and characteristics, but this is a personal name. And there's such a weighty truth packed into this name that he gives to us. One of the ways that we say it most often is probably when we say hallelujah, one of those terms that kind of transcends languages and has been spoken and said and sung for generations, this hallelujah, that Yah at the end is the short for Yahweh. It is to praise Yahweh. And so anytime we sing hallelujah, and there's so many different ways, right? How many different songs say hallelujah in different like vocal modulations, right? There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. So we sing it because it packs such a powerful punch, right? That praise Yahweh, my God, the one who has revealed himself to me, the one who always has been and always will be and who is here right now. Praise him. Do not praise any other thing. I do not praise any other God. I do not bow down to any other idol. We praise Yahweh. And so even as we sing that type of language and speak that out, let us know what we're saying and know the covenant and the history and the text with which it is rooted in, that we praise the living God. We praise the one who is, the one whose existence comes from his own existence, the one whose amness comes from his own amness, and that's who he is, and then it gives us a strength and a courage and a foundation for living out and what we believe, because he is God who reveals himself to us. One connection I want to make for us is into the New Testament. So in Matthew 1:21, the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph, and it says about this son that he and his betrothed Mary would have. He says to him, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, a little bit real quick about Jesus is the name Jesus that this angel says, this is what you are to call this child. You are to call him Jesus. So the Jesus is an English transliteration of the Greek word Yeshua, right? Yeshua. And so that's where that kind of comes from, Yesun, Yeshua. And so that Greek word is a transliteration of the Hebrew word for Joshua, Yeshua. And so you have these transliterations of how of where the name Jesus comes from Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. So Yeshua means Yahweh saves. It's got that Yah in there. So Yahweh saves. He is salvation. And so here we have in this New Testament context, in the person of Jesus, that that Yahweh saves, that Jesus is Yahweh with a human nature. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, "Therefore God," and this was, Paul kind of confirms this idea of this name. It says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him," speaking of Jesus, "and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus," Yeshua, "every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." And so he is the one that has come to save, as save the people from their sins, as the angel said in Matthew 1:21. He is the one who has been given the name that is above every other name, that at his name every knee would bow in heaven and on earth, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That's a quote that the New Testament there is directly quoting Isaiah 45:23, where Yahweh is the one to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So Paul is saying that in the end, the whole world will acknowledge that Jesus is in fact Yahweh in the flesh, that Jesus has come to save, that God has put on flesh to come and to save us. And so we see this connection through the beautiful name of Yahweh right in to the name of Jesus who comes to save. He is a God who reveals himself in a personal way. in a covenantal way where he says, won't you come to me? In the person of Jesus, there is no greater covenant that we might enter into, this new covenant through the blood of Jesus that was poured out at the cross, when literally his physical blood was poured out as nails were driven through his hands and his feet for us, that we might know that Yahweh saves. That he is the God who always was, who is right now, and who always will be. He is the God who is worthy of worship. And so what we respond to this morning is this. Some of us need to respond to the personal invitation. In this personal covenantal way that God is revealing himself, we need to come to know him in a personal way. Not know that, okay, I believe there is a God and I kind of come to church once in a while, or I do this or that to show that, or I'll kind of say my prayers here and there because I believe there is a God. But what God reveals to us in the giving of us his name and moving towards us in different ways throughout scripture is that he desires a personal relationship. And we see that through the person and even the name of Jesus who came to save us from our sins. And so some of us in the room today just need to come to that place of saying, I want to personally know God. And I had no idea that he wanted to know me in that way. I didn't know if I was interested, but today something's stirring in me and I want to know him. I want to know him for who he is. I want to not know him from a distance, but I want to know him up close. The doors are open for you today to know him. He continually reveals himself to us in a personal way that we might come to know him and walk with him. That's his invitation to you. And so some need to respond in that way. Others need to respond in the way of getting low before him. Acknowledging again, though we've come close, maybe there's things we've taken for granted. Maybe there's ways that we've put ourself in the driver's seat. There's ways that we've operated where we haven't submitted to him. And in today, there would be a place for us to go low again, to say, I bow, I come at low before the God who was and who is and who always will be, the God who is, the God who reveals himself, who is here with us, who is the creator of all things. I come come low before him. If there's something that you connected with in the way that Yahweh would show himself to be the one that would come and to save, there's a place for you to respond. If there's a place that God connected something in our hearts with coming low before him, there's a place for us to respond today. And as we do that, I want to just finish by reading one final passage of scripture. And as I read this, I actually just want to invite you to close your eyes, just to hear these words. Every morning we have different groups praying and worshiping in the sanctuary and the prayer room as leading in to it. And someone this morning shared this with me. That the Lord, as they were just praying in the sanctuary, really highlighted this passage of scripture, not even knowing what we're going to be talking about today. And I believe that it's something powerful for us to hear and to receive from God's word. It's a reiteration, if you will, of God describing who he is. So let me just read this over us out of Isaiah 42, 5 through 9. This is what the Lord God says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. This is what he says. I, the Lord, I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am Yahweh. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. I am Yahweh. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. So Lord, may you not have to do that in this place. May there be no question about who receives the glory and the honor in this house. Or there would be no need, there would be nothing in us that would want to yield the praise of Yahweh to an idol, to something that we would put before him. So God, would you establish your name in this house? Would you establish your name in our hearts? Would there be a coming to know you in a personal way? That we would be a people who call you by name, who know you by name, who walk in this covenant relationship. And yet also we recognize that who you are is above all other names, that you will not yield your glory or praise to any other thing. So right now, I just want to invite you to stand up with me. If you're on our ministry team, you can come on down here to the front at this time. And if there's something that God's stirring in you today, I want to invite you to respond. I feel as though some just need to come, as we always open it up in the front, but some just need to come and get on their knees this morning. Even just in hearing those words of God, I am Yahweh, that is my name, I will not yield my glory or praise to any other thing, that we need to just come and we need to make sure, get our hearts right and just say, God, let it not be that I would give glory or praise to any other thing but your name. Just to have a holy moment with you and the Lord. Again, others of you may need to come, and we'd love to talk with you if you've got questions about how to know him personally, about what that would look like. Or maybe you have questions about the hard things that have happened in your life that you have a hard time reconciling, that God could be good and want to know me, and yet these things have happened in my life. We'd love to just pray with you and talk with you in any way that would help. And as always, if there's any burden that you're carrying, whether we talked about it today or not, but that's something you need prayer for, we believe that the body of Christ is to carry one another's burdens, to pray for one another. And so if you've got something that you'd like prayer for, whether it be physical healing, a relational problem, financial difficulty, whatever it might be, we'd love to pray for you as well, because we believe that God hears our prayer and the answer. So let's, as the people of God, together this morning, respond to how God is leading us.